Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and we're back with another episode. I think this is going to be our Thanksgiving episode. We're actually recording this a week ahead of time, but happy Turkey Day to everybody out there. And in honor of Turkey Day, we've brought all the usual turkeys back on the podcast this week. And of course, we're the head gobbler, Sam.
I wasn't ready for that one, Jamie. That includes you too, though.
But yeah, I threw myself in there perfectly well. Yeah.
You're the head turkey. There you go. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe we're in the holidays already, and it was just like summer weeks ago, it seemed like. But here we are doing this again. So yes, out here in Colorado, kind of waiting for the next snows to hit, which who knows, that could be any time. And we got Dr. Joe with us today. Hi, Dr. Joe.
Hey, gobble gobble.
Yeah, very good. Hope you're going to enjoy your turkey dinner. And we have a little focus here on our weather guy, Kyle Nelson. He's doing something special that he wants to tell us all about. So I'm just going to shove it over there to Kyle and let him talk about it.
Awesome. Thanks, Sam. And good evening to everyone on the Disaster Podcast today. And hello, everyone out there in Disaster Podcast land. Meteorologist Kyle Nelson coming to you, recording this week from the Long Beach Convention Center at the International Association of Emergency Managers Conference. So it's an annual conference that the IAEM puts on, and it's really so multifaceted that it's tough to squeeze it all into one podcast and put it all into words. So I'm going to give you a little bit of kind of what my experience has been at the conference here so far, as well as what it has to offer for any of you in the public safety, private sector, emergency management, and non-governmental organization or NGO sectors. So if you work in any of those sectors, the International Association of Emergency Managers Conference is a great place to get together and share best practices and ideas and learn from experts in the field. It starts off, there's some great pre-conference sessions. I attended a couple of those, including one with university and colleges. And with that, that's to do with some of my work on the private consulting side that I do with another business that I work for. And we have a lot of college partners that we work with. And so we were able to connect with universities and colleges and from all across the country and even international universities and colleges into sharing best practices, knowledge, and ideas, and really addressing and discussing in an open forum the issues that are being presented to that specific community. From there, we went right into the kickoff of the conference. It was really, really fun. There's always a big welcoming party and reception that we do, and I was really happy to see a lot of familiar faces. And also, my truly favorite part of this conference is putting names and faces to Twitter handles that I've interacted with for years and years and years, and really get all the experts together. And of course, making those face-to-face reconnections, one of my great mentors, Dr. Lou Uccellini, the director of the National Weather Service, is in attendance every year. And so it's always great to reconnect with him and see what the latest and greatest is on the National Weather Service side of things, looking really at a national scope, national scale. From there, I jumped right into some great conference presentations there on day one. I'm, of course, being a meteorologist, I gravitated towards some of the weather-related presentations and things that were happening. There's a new program that the National Weather Service is developing. It actually started in the Chicagoland area, Cook County and the surrounding counties there, as well as DuPage County, Illinois, excuse me. And the local National Weather Service office. It's called Event Ready. So with all of the outdoor events and things that the National Weather Service is supporting at the local office level, there was a big push to combine the emergency management expertise as well as the expertise of the local meteorologists there in the local weather service office. And they're now looking to roll this program out nationwide. It's still in the pilot stages, but it's really exciting to see that and to see it grow. Another thing that the National Weather Service and the emergency management community are collaborating on is a concept that they call SAVI, so S-A-V-I, Supplemental Assistance Volunteer Initiative. And that essentially is what I work with in Colorado that we call a virtual operations support team. So it's a team of digital media volunteers that are outside of an affected area that support the social and digital media monitoring of agencies within the affected area. So the Weather Service is doing that, and they're growing that program by, say, like during Hurricane Harvey down there in the Houston area, and all the surrounding offices were so overwhelmed, they wanted to focus on pushing messaging out. But with all the information that people were reporting and telling their stories on social media, the offices outside of the affected areas, all the way up to even an office in North Dakota, was doing social media monitoring remotely and feeding that information to the affected National Weather Service offices in Texas to inform their messaging so that they could craft a better message, dispel rumors, and help to better inform their local partners and emergency management partners as well as that event was unfolding. Of course, I'm just highlighting some of the weather stuff that I attended. I nerd out on that kind of stuff, and I love it. But another big part of the IAEM conference is the we have a big emergency management expo. And at that expo, you have vendors from all sectors, both you know, public and private and everywhere in between. And we also have a couple of booths that I really like to frequent. And one of those is the Crisis Technology Center. So myself and several other, we call ourselves the Nerd Herd. You know, it's not quite at the level of being turkeys, but hey, you know, the Nerd Herd's all right. And we actually will jump in and we put on a booth every year. And it's all of us that are on the Emerging Technology Caucus. So we monitor and we're immersed in and work with day-to-day new and emerging technologies and best practices for emergency management. And we have started to really bring folks in and say, hey, if you want to learn about a particular piece of technology, if you have a question about, say, drones, UAV, UAS, anything with social media, anything with, you know, digital media monitoring or anywhere in that space, we're bringing those folks together. And so that's another one of the great things that, this conference provides is the ability to connect with experts in the field who are doing that the same stuff that you are or that you want to do, as well as who've dealt with and been through some of those trials and tribulations and can share those lessons with you moving forward.
Joe, you had a particular interest you wanted to ask him about, right?
Well, I did. I'm absolutely amazed at you know, all the wide variety of stuff at this conference. It sounds absolutely fascinating. I wondered if Kyle could talk a little bit about the Weather Research and Innovation Act, and you know, what on earth is that, and what's the impact on you know, to the real people out there.
Well, the Weather Research and Innovation Act, this was actually, as you said, that was actually just recently passed. And that was the thing that that was touched on and was highlighted here. And some of the big takeaways for that is that it actually, and of course, I can't hit all the highlights. It's pretty wide ranging. But I think as far as for the folks that listen to this podcast, the practitioners, the boots on the ground kind of folks in the public safety side, as well as those on the planning and emergency management side of things, I think one of the big things was that this bill, the Weather Research and Forecasting Innovation Act here of 2017, one of the big takeaways is that it actually directed NOAA, so the National Organization for the Advancement of Acronyms. I mean, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, it requires them to establish tornado warning improvement and extension programs and develop better forecast predictions and warnings. So that's one specific hazard that's made, unfortunately, big news in recent years, and that's something that's specifically addressed. Another thing that really highlights is within the National Weather Service, it actually formally recognizes the role of the warning coordination meteorologist at the local office level. And so those of you in emergency management or public safety or in industries, if you're not familiar and you don't have on speed dial the number of your local warning coordination meteorologist at your local National Weather Service office, you got to get connected with that person because they're the ones who are your conduit between the weather forecast, weather forecasts and all the different products and research that comes out of the National Weather Service and integrates and that, you know, that's they're the conduit to you at the local level, the decision maker, the person who uses that data day in and day out to make decisions to protect lives and property. Or even something as simple as, you know, do I hold my outdoor event or do I advise the people hosting that event to perhaps move inside or activate a contingency plan? So those are just a couple of things that come out of it, but it's really great. And again, just you can look it up online. It's Weather Research and Forecasting Innovation Act.
And that's one of the things we've been highlighting here with your help over the last year or so. Has been some of the technology innovations that the National Weather Service has been implementing on their website so that people can follow the predictions along from layperson's terms and use some of the tools that have previously only been available to the meteorologists themselves. It's been kind of fun to see that kind of thing being rolled out to the public at large.
Absolutely. And it's just another way that we're seeing here as I think it was and I'm just kind of blanking on the exact phrase, but I'll attempt to do it justice. It was that what was said in the opening, one of the opening keynotes by Richard Cirino, the former deputy administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. He highlighted and he stressed that the world of emergency management and public safety is in, you know, it's in a constant state of flux. And at this point in time, he feels strongly that we are in the middle of a revolution because the days of, oh, you have a ton of experience, you should become an emergency manager. Those days are going away and being replaced with folks that, you know, go to school, they get degrees, they have a formal background and training in emergency management, not necessarily as much experience as someone who had that job in years past. And so there's a culture shift. There's a revolution happening as these new technologies come out, as these new ways of communicating, as you hinted at, Jamie, as these things continue to evolve so rapidly and in real time. You know, it's one of those things where if you're not staying on top of it, if you're not staying connected within your larger community, like you can do at, say, at this conference or other conferences, and whether it's at the local level, the state level, or an international conference like this one, it's really quickly you can become obsolete and can really get behind the eight ball. And it's not a place that that we want to end up as ourselves and our position. So definitely embracing the change and staying on top of it and staying at the cutting edge as these things evolve, because as a as an institution and as a group and as a brotherhood of emergency managers, we are only going to continue to move forward, and it's up to all of us to help each other move forward together.
And that's one of the things that stood out to me was, you know, a lot of the discussion on using social media, which we've talked about here on the show before. But I one particular tweet you put out a couple days ago, or yesterday, actually, I think it was a conversation you had with one of the people you were following, Chris Tarantino, about the skill of crafting good search on social media should be done before you have your own disaster. In other words, practice on other people's disasters, which I thought was interesting because it's actually something you can do during another area's disaster, is practice doing your searches and practice doing the things that you might need to do during an actual event, but doing it using their search terms and things like that.
And that is absolutely vital. And in the emergency management public safety community, we talk about it, but it's often not put into practice to, you know, practice and drill the same way that you would operate during a disaster as you do during trainings and exercises. And it's hard to replicate that sometimes, but in the digital online space, you know, I look at it, it's both a blessing and a curse that we are constantly having these disasters, both man-made and natural, unfolding across the world seemingly on a daily basis. And so we don't have to wait for an event, as you said, to occur in our community. We can monitor and start to look at how an event unfolds in a neighboring community, in a different state, in a different country. We can practice, we can drill these skills, because just as monitoring on social media, the same way, you know, as a paramedic, you know, inserting and putting in an endotracheal tube into someone, or doing other paramedic, say, level skills that you don't do on a day-to-day basis, they're perishable skills. And if you do not practice and drill with them as you would in a normal, you know, or an everyday, an operational environment, that skill will perish. Your skill, your ability to do that skill will be in jeopardy. So when it comes time for you to perform, you're not going to be at your best, and that's not going to be good for you or the person or community that you're tasked to serve.
Kyle, I got one more question, and this is something that Joe can certainly appreciate. It's very relative to what you were just saying, that you retweeted somebody saying, train to fail during exercises. It makes them think outside of the box and out of the linear thought process. After all, every event will have failures that must be addressed. Your thoughts on that? And then I'd like to hear Joe's final thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that quote actually came from Lori Hodges. She's the Larimer County Emergency Manager, and that's the one of the northernmost county in Colorado in the I-25 corridor. She was talking about cascading events and things. And what I really got out of her presentation in that tweet specifically that I retweeted from my good friend Shane, what Lori was getting at with that one, I truly feel, is that, you know, we don't want to train, you know, and train and exercise people to fail, but we want to train and exercise our plans and our policies and our procedures to fail. Because if we do not, you know, if we go in lightly and say, oh, we don't want anyone to fail, we don't want anyone to be offended, we don't want anything to go bad, well, you know, disasters, they're not linear. Disasters are chaos. They occur in a system of chaos, and they are completely unpredictable. Every disaster is different from the last. And so what that really sought to get across was that we want to train and exercise our plans to fail, to tease out the things that are not being addressed, and not just to say, oh, well, you know, if you do fail, okay, we failed, well, we'll learn better next time and go about your daily business. Having that discussion, that frank, that open, that candid discussion, okay, we failed, we need to fail forward, we need to have that discussion so that we can improve our plans, improve our training, so that next time, now when we go back to train and exercise again, we can continue to grow and move forward, as opposed to just accepting our failure and not doing anything about it.
Joe, that has to make sense to you.
Oh, I think that's brilliant, actually. You know, Kyle said, summed that whole thing up really nicely with, you know, these are disasters are process driven events, especially on the response side. And people get very caught up and very take it all very personally when things don't go well, et cetera. And just as Kyle pointed out, it's not about setting up our people to fail. It's setting up our processes and teaching people that those processes are inherently weak and have to be constantly tweaked, and that all the stuff you learned from the last disaster was kind of only good for the last disaster. And that, you know, the need for constant improvement and constant innovation, I think, is the real key to improving disaster response.
So what do you think, Jamie?
Well, I think, you know, I think I'm glad that we got Kyle to talk about this event and maybe bring it to the attention of some people that might want to look at going next year, because it sounds like it's a fabulous fabulous conference. Just based upon scrolling through Kyle's Twitter feed, anybody who wants to do that, you can go to WX Kyle Nelson on Twitter and search through his back chatter as this episode comes out about a week before. He just really covered a whole bunch of presentations and retweeted a lot of great tidbits of information that are going to be incredibly valuable to our audience. And Kyle, thanks so much for taking the time to share with us what you learned over there.
Absolutely, Jamie. And I appreciate you having me on and allowing me to share a little bit about this. And I just want to add in just two more pieces that I think are really critical for all our listeners out there. If you have anyone or know anyone that is either new or looking to get into the field of emergency management, whether it's at the public sector, the private sector, or with non-governmental organizations or NGOs, encourage them to come to this conference. We have a wonderful student conference that takes place the weekend prior to the formal conference. And I attended that as well, along with some of my colleagues, and we were blown away at the high caliber students that are coming out here and just networking with other students, with other folks that are new in the field, as well as staying for the conference and meeting the experts and even getting that handshake, that face-to-face, getting their business card. It can totally change your life. I attended a conference just on a whim back in undergrad, and it totally changed my path. So I strongly encourage you to encourage those individuals to attend this conference. The second thing is just, not being afraid to reach out. I strongly advise everyone, you can follow me on Twitter. I love getting more followers. I try to share good content, but follow the hashtag IAEM17. So IAEM17, that'll give you the whole conversation on Twitter surrounding the topic of this conference down here in Long Beach this week. So go back there. Look at the accounts, look at the individuals that are on there, and you may recognize some names, you may not. Reach out, follow them, engage them online, because, hey, me liking a couple of tweets of Sam's ultimately got me to be a guest on the Disaster Podcast, and so you never know what opportunities may lay ahead.
And we've never let go, and I'm glad.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to say. So, Jamie, thank you so much for letting me share a bit about the conference. And, yeah, follow along with me and kind of look back and see what all the cool stuff that was happening.
And, Joe, this is what you guys do so well at Paragon is bringing people with the specific expertise. Like, we have Kyle here on the show and his specific expertise and knowledge to bring in. And you guys do that as well when you bring training into different organizations and areas is to bring people who have the knowledge and the experience with certain situations to train the responders in these jurisdictions you guys head into.
Oh, well, I think you're right. And, obviously we are really lucky to have guys like Kyle on our podcast that fits the mold of, folks that have done it and have expertise in it. And, I think the experience piece is incredibly important, if for no other reason that it teaches you that you have to be pretty flexible and that things are different every time and you have to learn to think on your feet. That's kind of what we try to impart in our customizable education programs for folks, that there's no one way to skin a cat. There's a lot of different options out there. And the more you understand about your choices, the better choices you can make.
Where can folks find out more about what Paragon's up to, where you guys are headed next, and maybe especially how to bring you guys in to help train in their systems?
Well, we'd love to hear from folks. You can reach us through our website, ParagonMedicalEducationGroup.com. We have a Facebook page, Paragon Medical Group, as well. Our Twitter feed is ParagonMedEDU, and you can always reach us through the Disaster Podcast. And if you're going to be in the Bucharest, Romania area toward the end of the year, we are anticipating that we're going to be doing a conference there sometime around the end of this year.
Well, that's exciting. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about that, because I'm sure lessons and things from the European theater of things will probably have a slightly different flavor from what we talk about here in the States.
No question about it. There's a ton of interesting stuff to learn from our colleagues abroad. And every time we go and do one of these things, far away, we come back probably learning more than we taught. So we're very excited about the possibility and hope that one will come through for us.
Well, awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Sam, where can folks find you?
They can find me in the usual social media places under Sam Bradley, Sam Bradley 11. on the Facebook page for Disaster Podcast and certainly on the disasterpodcast.com.
And of course, folks, you can find me over under the handle Podmedic and most of the social media channels out there. And of course, we want to really look forward to having you guys check us out on our Facebook group. Just search for Disaster Podcast in Facebook and ask to join the group. And we'll be happy to bring you in, and you can start the conversation and join in with us as we look at each episode each week and people leave comments and ask other questions of the rest of the group. It's a really valuable resource for you and a great way to meet other people interested in disaster management, emergency management, and other things. And of course, you got the crew here coming on there as well, so you can always reach out to us over that channel as well. Kyle, thanks a lot for coming on, dude. And you know, again, reiterate WX Kyle Nelson on social media channels for Kyle. It's a great way to find out what's going on with weather, with disaster management, with social media and disaster, all kinds of things that you're involved with.
Absolutely. So, yeah, WX Kyle Nelson, all the social media. So feel free to like, follow, friend, connect on LinkedIn, all that great stuff. On the disaster technology side, social media, weather, decision support, and all that side of the house, feel free to follow along with my company, Epicenter Media and Training. We're at Epimetra, E-P-I-M-E-T-R-A on Twitter. Follow along with us. And if you got any questions on disaster management, social media, and emerging technologies, feel free to connect with us there as well.
Awesome. And, you know, Sam, hearing the fact that the disaster managers all got together and emergency management folks putting this conference together, it's really interesting to see how they all innovate in their own ways, but they all come back to the same thing, that they've got to, you know, help communities that they serve recover and get through these events.
Well, and I think that the whole message for this, and God knows I could listen to Kyle for hours, but the whole message is there's always something to learn, and you got to learn it the right way, and these conferences are a great place to do that. So I'm really glad that Kyle shared that with us, because, you know, it's just another great example. Disaster medicine is not our everyday medicine.